Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a More Than Just Podcast production.
Welcome to this podcast. My name is Tim Mitra. I am in Toronto, Ontario, and I'm joined once again by Jonathan Kuhlein in Mississauga, Ontario.
Hello there, kids.
And we also have Jaime Lopez Jr. on the line in Seattle, Washington.
How's it going?
All right, so let's talk about the 2024 Spockies.
2024 Spockies. Yeah, 2023 Spockies.
Well, it's the 24 is the year that they're... This is like the 2024 Oscars are for last year's movies and, you know...
Is it?
Technically the 2024.
So what's the cutoff? It has to have come out in 2023 or?
Yeah, that's kind of what I did when assembling the Giganto list here, was focused on stuff that was either in a movie theater and or on your television set in the year 2023.
Okay, so how are we going to do this? We're going to rattle through the.
Yeah, let's maybe just sort of run through the list, and then maybe we can have a quick discussion about the merits or not of some of these candidates. We can even weigh in on whether we have seen or not seen these things, because there are certainly things on here that I have not had a chance to watch yet.
Okay. So, all right. Best movie. I'll read the list off.
Best movie, yes.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom. Barbie, The Blue Beetle. The Creator, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves, The Flash, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, The Hunger Games, Ballad of Songs and Snakes, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, The Marvels, Rebel Moon Part 1, Shazam, The Fury of the Gods, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Super Mario Brothers Movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, and Transformer Rise of the Beasts. So are we going to put all of these in here, or are we just going to pick?
I guess that's why we're having this conversation. So we can do a little live debate here. We can always, you know, see what people think. But I think we can winnow this list down. I don't want to winnow it down arbitrarily, but I must admit, this might be one of the worst sci-fi and fantasy movie years we've ever seen.
Yeah, why? There isn't one standout movie here, you mean?
There's two movies in here that are worth, really worth your time. Maybe three.
Which are?
I would say Barbie.
Yeah.
I would say Guardians 3.
Okay.
And Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Those are the only three movies that are, something really, really special.
Right.
There's some good movies in here. There's some perfectly watchable movies. The Marvels is a perfectly watchable movie. I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem was perfectly watchable. I think The Flash was perfectly watchable. I think Dungeons and Dragons is perfectly watchable. Ant-Man and the Wasp is okay. But, it's not a great list of movies. It's not. If you go back through the history of our Spockies, and I might have actually had to do that as I was looking for my previous stuff, it's not a great year. It's just not. Do you disagree?
No. I think you can probably take Ant-Man and Aquamania off the list. Blue Beetle I would take off the list. Dungeons and Dragons was an okay movie. The Flash, I don't know if The Flash belongs there because it's just sort of one of the, tent pegs of DC, right? Godzilla we could probably take off the list because I'm not going to watch that one. Hunger Games I'm definitely not going to watch. Intentionally, right?
Maybe if it's on a streaming service one night.
Yeah, the Marvels was okay. Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny has a place in this universe, but I don't know if it belongs on this list. Transformers, I'm not going to watch. I started watching it, but I didn't. I just changed the channel. Super Mario Brothers, maybe. I have no opinion on the new Ninja Turtles. You guys are big fans of that.
Right? I thought it was a good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it yet. And the Shazam, I thought was okay too, but Shazam has kind of a you know, it's, I don't know. It's not really successful as a superhero, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the character and I like the family and it's fun, but I find it's like a kid movie almost, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it's not.
And we did discuss for our listeners, we did have a discussion on the Spotcast, the channel for the three of us, about whether Barbie fit on this list. I don't think it's a sci-fi movie, but it is a fantasy.
Have you seen it?
I have. I do think that it's a fantasy movie in that, you know, obviously it is not based on things that are real. You know, there is certainly a fantastical element to it. And so therefore, I think it fits in with sort of the larger milieu we talk about when we talk about sci-fi fantasy. Your mileage may vary. You may disagree that it isn't there, in which case I suggest you vote for one of the other things. But I think all three of us agree it belongs in here.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I saw it first and I said, yeah, right away. In my mind, it's a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Even though it has a great message, I don't want to get that impression.
Yeah, but sort of lots of other sci-fi movies. It doesn't mean it's not a good sci-fi movie, yeah. Right?
Yeah, we had a discussion about Oppenheimer. We're like, well, it's science fact, though. There may be fictionalized pieces of, like, do we really know that this particular person said this particular thing behind closed doors? Well, no, that's the fictionalized.
That's just movie making is what that is.
Yeah, that's the dramatization. But, like, you know, real science, real people, real bomb, real error, right? So that's the thing. I think, John, the take that I take from your, and I'm not disagreeing, I'm just trying to absorb your take on this, is that we didn't have big standouts, like cream of the crop clearly go above the list. I don't think that there was
a bunch of bad things, but I don't think there were any that,
so that's sort of the
problem. Is there one movie here you're going to look back on 5 years and be like, that is an all-timer?
So like, I think. Well, I haven't seen some of these movies, so that's part of the issue, and that it made it challenging for me to vote. So, two pairings that I think are interesting. So, I would believe that, many people went with Barbenheimer, and they went with Barbie plus Oppenheimer as the pairing. I would argue that Oppenheimer and Godzilla Minus One probably make a really good pairing, too. I've not seen Godzilla Minus One. You look on Rotten Tomatoes, it's gotten enormous kudos there, but you know, two halves of like ostensibly the same thing, right? The creation of nuclear war as a possibility, and how does one side interpret it and how does the other side interpret it? There could be a good pairing. I would also say that actually I know this for a fact, that The Creator is a good pairing with, believe it or not, Good Burger 2. Surprisingly, as a unexpected combination. It's the I don't know. It's the chocolate and spicy stuff kind of combination. Like, oh, didn't know that would work.
Did you watch The Creator, by the way?
I did see The Creator. I did see Good Burger 2 back to back, not on purpose. I realized, there's a through line here about humanity's place in an increasingly artificial intelligence driven world.
Mm, right.
But yeah, I think to Jonathan's point, like, you know, the Spockies, you know, we can only... a tough year. You know, the strikes pushed a lot of things out that would have normally qualified for this year. So we can only vote based and nominate based on what actually came out. And
so are we going to be like the Academy and only pick like 5 or 10?
There's kind of the rub, right? So the Academy Awards ran into this same problem of like, hey, 5 nominees for Best Picture means that, you know, you've got some snubs that feel like it should have been in there, but they went too far. They said, let's put 10. It's like 10 is way too many. It should be like 7, because there's usually only one or two snubs. There's not 5 snubs. And so,
yeah, no, I think 5 is a good, five is a number that I'm comfortable with.
Well, and you get a better consensus that way. If you put too many candidates in, you do get that, like, this one won, it had 3 votes. It's like, that's never fun, right?
Yeah, I do also agree with sort of the take that for the Academy Awards, the Oscars should have, when people are voting for Best Picture, it should not be, oh, that was a really good movie that year. It should be kind of like, we will remember this forever. Right? As a good counterexample, I know it's a winner, But Shakespeare in Love has zero cultural impact. Nobody references it. Nobody knows what happens in that movie.
So let's do this. I think we agreed on the first three that Jonathan mentioned as sort of the front runners, right? What if we were to each pick one movie that we would like, sort of like the coach's pick?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right. So
what am I putting?
That presumes we wouldn't all pick the same like three things. To...
No, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. If somebody puts a movie forth, then you know, then you can pick another movie or agree or what. So Jaime's put Godzilla Minus One. Okay.
Yeah, I'm throwing that one in as my judges save or whatever it is we're calling this on this game show.
Okay, Jonathan, you got another one or? Like, who's your second runner up if those three are your top ones?
The only other one that I enjoyed that I thought was somewhat special out of this list is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
So I thought that was really quite well done. I thought it went somewhere. I liked that one. I don't feel strongly enough about it that I would die on a hill for it, but it was a really enjoyable take on that.
I'll throw an asterisk on it. Okay. So that's that one. And I'm going to put the creator through. Just for the sake of science. Okay. All right. So let's move on to best television show.
Which is opposite of our television problem.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, here it is. Boys, Gen V, Doctor Who. We're talking about the Christmas specials, I guess. Yep. Foundation, Good Omens, Invincible. Good Omens Season 2, right?
Yep.
Okay. And then, Invincible, The Last of Us. Loki, Mandalorian, My Adventures with Superman, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. I've only seen one episode of that so far. Secret Invasion, Silo, Ahsoka, Star Wars Visions, Discovery, Lower Decks, Picard, Strange New Worlds, The Bad Batch, Walking Dead, Dead City, What If, and What We Do in the Shadows. And then, you got a separate one for the Trekkie stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So what do we think are the front runners here?
Woof.
Last of Us, I guess.
So this, yeah. Last of Us, no. Last of Us, yes. Mandalorian, no. In my opinion.
Loki, Season 2.
Oof.
Foundation, boy. Season 2.
I thought Foundation Season 2 was great.
Yeah?
I did.
I mean, Foundation Season 2. Is Jaime still there?
I'm thinking. I've not seen Foundation, and I'm trying to figure out.
Do we want to bring Doctor Who, the Force, the four specials?
I don't know. What number are we trying to get to here? This is tough.
So we're trying to get to five. Five or six or whatever. Five.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the slam dunkers for me. So Last of Us is a slam dunk. Yes, that has to be on the list. Silo has to be on the list. I thought Silo was terrific. I think Strange New Worlds has to be on the list. I think Strange New Worlds was the strongest Trek property last year.
Okay.
And could win this whole thing. It was terrific. The second season.
What about Secret Invasion? No.
100% no on Secret Invasion. Yeah, that I don't think not that was on my list.
Wrong enough to make.
And Loki Season 2?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Hmm. Okay, so we've got Last of Us, Silo, and Strange New Worlds. So we got our three, yep. Right? So each one of us gets a vote.
Oof.
I have dogs coming. Mac has taken to drinking out of the toilet, which is really funny because like I put the lid down.
Oh, Jaime's made his good pick. Luck, Jaime, yeah. What'd you pick?
I threw in Picard. I would have picked Strange New Worlds had none of you picked that one. It was...
You mean The Next Generation Part 2?
Yeah. So this is one that, like, it's got some quibbles through it, and it inherits stuff from Season 1 and Season 2, but it, like, it takes a, they're never going to stick to landing into, like... They wobbled a bit, but they stuck to landing, you know?
It was so satisfying in a way that... It was fan service, for sure, but it was... really well done fan service. Like, it was really enjoyable to watch the gang back together. It really was. It was a special thing as a longtime Trek fan.
Okay. Not fair because there's only three of the original series left.
Fair. But then they got like a series of movies, so I don't know what to tell you.
That's true, yeah. They had their chance.
I'm gonna take Ahsoka.
Alright.
I think Ahsoka is probably the strongest remaining I really liked Foundation season two. I liked a lot of the other stuff, but that one is it. I think it's it.
There you go.
I got to pick one, right?
You got to take one.
Well, we have a few Brits on the who will vote, so I'm going to put Doctor Who forward.
What do you think, Jaime? Should we try it without him, or do you want to wait?
Yeah, I guess we can do best Star Trek series here, where listing them out. So we've got a plentiful year in 2023: Star Trek Discovery, Lower Decks, Picard, and Strange New Worlds.
I could tell you which one I thought was the worst. Yeah, I mean, it was a good year for Trek. I mean, I think Strange New Worlds season two was sublime. I think Picard was very satisfying. I think Lower Decks was hilarious and also somewhat really kind of interesting in what they did with the Mariner character this year. I liked her arc from beginning to end of like what she's feeling and how she's dealing with her emotions. And I thought that was actually surprisingly for a show that is a lot of just silliness was actually pretty smart and pretty thoughtful. I think Disco was just the weakest of the bunch. It just was.
Yeah. And it's kind of strange. Like you got to have somebody be last, right? If you're ranking me, sure. Somebody has to be last. And I don't think Discovery had a bad season per se. I think it just wasn't as strong as some of the competitors.
Not from enough Tilly
series.
Not enough Tilly. When Tilly left, she left too early and the show suffered with no Tilly. They still haven't announced when they're coming with the, they announced they're going to do the Star Trek Academy series that is set with her obviously leading the way and the team and stuff like that. I'll be curious to see when that's like, if they make an announcement of that. They haven't said anything about it coming in 2024. So I'm curious.
Yeah. They sort of, ran out of steam in terms of spreading these things out for Star Trek series. Like we've even before the strikes, we were already going to see a bit of a scheduling problem here. And how do they continue to get my money on Paramount Plus from week to week?
Well, this is actually, since we have a moment to pause and talk about this, this year is set up for the ultimate test of the Lopez calculus, because as we just talked about at the beginning of the episode, we're not getting our first Trek thing until April. Our expectation is that we're going to get, you know, maybe some more Lower Decks, although they haven't confirmed that. We think that we're probably going to get, you know, Section 31 movie. We might get some Strange New Worlds, but they haven't confirmed that. Although we do know, especially from living up here, we know the actors are in town. So they're starting to film, whether or not that means it's this year or early next year. But, you know, even beyond that, like there's just a lot of stuff that is just kind of ramping back up after that very long writers / actors strike. I don't know. You might not need all those subscriptions this year.
It's going to be real tough for people. So let me just show people an insight into what my weekly watching is. And I don't think it will it change dramatically. What's coming up is the next thing. So I won't change my weekly watching schedule until Curb Your Enthusiasm returns in February 4th. I think that's the next soonest thing that I have written down announced. So on Mondays is America's Got Talent Fantasy League. That's Normal People TV show. Echo just finished, so that will fall off the list. The Floor with Rob Lowe. That's also a Normal People show. We Are Family, a Normal People show. So you might be noticing a pattern here. A lot of these are things that don't require writers and actors normally, right? They're game shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So they're very clearly filling an area. Delicious in Dungeon, which spoilers for my pick, that would be one of the things. And then Saturday Night Live turning. So kind of a real a dark time for new stuff, which means I probably need to catch up on old stuff. Like I never did see Percy Jackson. I never did see I never did see Disenchantment season 5. That's on my back catalog.
Yep. So,
there we go.
Yeah, and I think we all have those. Like I had heard a podcast recently where someone made the comment, if they didn't make shows this year, we'd all still have something to do. You know, there's so many shows and have been over the past few years, And, you know, we're at the tail end of this incredible era of television where there was this level of competition that was driving a lot of content. And so there's so many highly regarded things that are just sitting on my watch list. You know, we've talked about them, you know, the number of things that Reservation Dogs, you know, I've heard for the last like 4 years that that's a terrific show. I just have not made time for it. Part of it is because we do this and my priorities have to be on, you know, a lot of sci-fi and fantasy stuff, but there's so much good stuff just sitting there waiting for us, right?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
We're just talking about the Lopez calculus as it applies to a year like this where we might not get as much content as we're used to.
Yeah, the context was, you know, for best Star Trek series, I bet if they could see what was going to happen with the scheduling and timing, they definitely would have pushed some of these off into the new year because they will have nothing for months.
Yeah.
And then it won't even have the full set coming up. So are they gonna get our Paramount Plus money is the starting question.
So best actor for movies. This was the category I struggle with when I made this initial list, because again, as we talked about, not the crazy greatest movie year. So maybe we need to go back to our finalists again and sort of see if anything else jumps out, but it's a short list of what I would call exceptional performances.
Yeah, well, I mean, two of them are animated, and then the third one, well, yeah.
So unless there's somebody from The Creator or Godzilla Minus One or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You could also pick from like Rebel Moon, or you could pick from Shazam.
Certainly we could. Again, you tell me who in those had a standout performance in your mind. I could not in my mind
think of anybody. You don't think Christopher Pratt as Mario was like worthwhile? Or,
no. No.
We're holding the award until he plays Garfield, and then we'll do the makeup award.
Yeah. We'll do the honorarium, yeah.
Yeah, it just, again, from the male leading role performance area here, I did not have a lot of things jump out.
We could glom the males into one category. Do we have like a lot of male TV category?
The male TV and the female TV, again, just like the list is very strong. It's the movie on both male and female. We could put them all on one big list. But yeah, then, you know, we're putting actor, Barbie versus Ken, and that's just a bloodbath. Person. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, let's be progressive. We can just be like, hey, Oscars, be like us. We don't need these genders.
Yeah, these are actors. Yeah, exactly.
Actors are actors. We'll just all put them in one lump group. But yeah, so Tim, if you want to read the list, we didn't go over our nominees, but it's a short list.
For the actors,
yeah.
Best movie actors, Bradley Cooper, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I'm surprised you didn't do Vin Diesel. Ryan Gosling as Barbie, and Shemaik Moore for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
The main character?
He plays Miles, yeah. And you could put in what's the man who plays his dad? He's so good on Atlanta. Oh, bloody hell. I'm fishing for names. No, it's the other guy. It's the guy who plays Al.
Yeah, I could see that being more supporting though, because the Shemaik Moore is Miles, right? So
yeah, I mean he's the star.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian Tyree Henry. God, I knew there was three names and I just could not pull it out of my brain.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Actually just finished watching the final season of Atlanta. Speaking of things that we were catching up on, I finally just watched the last season of Atlanta, which was genius. That show is incredible. But yeah, it's not not to diminish these performances, but like, it's not a really killer group. Like, do you want to put Paul Rudd or Michael Douglas or Jonathan Majors, which we didn't talk about, but that's a thing. Looking through this list, like, nobody jumps out.
Yeah.
Keaton in The Flash. I don't know. Harrison Ford in India. And like, I got nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah. I think it's the same problem of like in this particular category, not having standouts. They're all good performances here that we've selected here, but we're like, are there more out there? Probably not standout enough. If we had to fill 10 slots, I'm sure we could fill 10 slots, but would we feel comfortable where we feel like we're just, you know, doing it to hit a numbers? Yeah,
we could arbitrarily fill 10 slots, but again, I don't feel good about them as somebody I would want to hand an award to. I look forward to putting in a fill in the blank and seeing what kind of responses we get. If maybe there are people out there who feel very strongly about some of the performances, but my conclusion in filling out this pre-ballot for the Spockies was great year for TV, not so great year for movies.
Indeed. Indeed.
And to be fair, when I say movies, I mean in this particular genre. I think, you know, there's lots of great movies out there this year. They just weren't in this. Okay. Okay. So let's just leave those three be and we'll go from there. Best actor for TV.
Yeah, I'm okay with this. I think maybe Lee Pace, we could take him out.
Okay. And Nick Offerman, I put in here, but he is clearly a supporting. Yeah. So I don't know if we want to bump him just because he's not the lead actor. But I mean, it was a sublime performance, but you can argue that Pedro Pascal being in all the episodes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the list is Chudi Gatwa as Doctor Who, Tom Hiddleston for Loki, Anson Mount for Strange New Worlds, Nick Offerman for Last of Us, Lee Pace for Foundation, and Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us. And you're suggesting Lee Pace should go. I get that. He kind of chews up the scenery, but he was a lot of fun in that season. Best actress. So, again, not a robust list. Margot Robbie for Barbie. Hayley Steinfeld for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. She was Spider-Gwen. And Iman Vellani for The Marvels. I thought she stole that movie. She was terrific. Also, I'm biased because she's from here.
What?
She's from Markham.
She's from Markham. Oh, the young girl. Okay.
Yeah.
It's
Marvel.
Actor category, we said, you know, these are good performances and we probably didn't have standouts in other movies for sci-fi.
No. Yeah. I mean, if you want to put in
fiction fantasy.
Yeah. If you want, we can pull some lead actors, but I don't feel strongly about them for sure. The best actress TV category.
Oh, wait a minute. There was what's her name from the Fleabag girl. She was in.
From Indiana Jones. I haven't seen it yet. So
yeah. And then there was
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I mean, give somebody to vote for, right? Emma Chan was in The Creator.
Yep.
And she was, you know. The little girl in The Creator. I would put her.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to tell me what her name is because I've not seen that.
Yeah, I can't remember. She's small. If we're going to have Jodie Foster win an Oscar. No, not Jodie Foster. Who was it? Ryan, you know, the guy from the... Ryan O'Neill. Tatum O'Neill won an Oscar, right?
Yeah.
Although I don't know why she won that Oscar, to be honest. But,
Do you want Emma Chan or do you want the little girl from...
No, the little girl. I'm just trying to find the creator. Hang on. I'm just trying to keep an eye on the dog, too, because dog needs...
Yes, she does. You guys didn't like my joke about Phoebe Waller-Bridge?
The name of the girl is Madeline Yuna Voyez.
Do you want to write that in?
Yeah, I will.
You've got it in front of you.
I do, yeah. I think I'm saying it right. Madeline. She has the best line in the movie. When they ask, the other robot asks her, what do you want? She says, I want all robots to be free. She says, no, I meant in the fridge.
That's kid thinking right there.
Yeah.
Okay. This might be the toughest category of the whole bunch. Best actress TV. Laura Byrne for Foundation. Natasha Lou Bardizzo for Ahsoka. Jess Bush for Strange New Worlds. Christina Chong for Strange New Worlds. Rosario Dawson for Ahsoka. Rebecca Ferguson for Silo, Lou LaBelle for Foundation, Tawny Newsome for Lower Decks, and Bella Ramsey for The Last of Us. That is a lot of talent right there.
Yeah, and Jess Bush is Chapel.
Yeah.
Laura Byrne. Which one is Laura Byrne?
She is the woman who plays Dimmerzell.
The robot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is a tough role to play. And I thought she did a really good job. Yeah. Yeah. And Lou LaBelle played, what's her name? This show. Gail Dornick.
Yeah.
I put Tawny Newsome in here because I really like, Jaime, you and I were talking about Lower Decks. You know, I really think she brought a lot to that character this season, from just some incredibly funny killer one-liners to some pretty decent emotional stuff. I know it's only a voice performance, but I think she did an incredible job.
Yeah, likewise. There's some depth added to the character that was really nice. And it wasn't all just writing. It was also performance as well.
Yeah. The only one I could see cutting from this list and being okay with would be probably Rosario Dawson, who I thought was good, but not maybe great as Ahsoka. I think I enjoyed Natasha Lou Bardizzo as Sabine better, but
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. But again, unless there's any, like, I don't know anybody else you guys want to cut out of this list. I know it's 9 people, but it's a great, strong list. And again, if you want to cut one of the Foundation actors, we could cut one of them as well. Or one of the Strange New Worlds ones, if you want to decide between Jess Bush and Christina Chong. You know,
let's leave this one as it is.
Yeah.
But let the masses vote.
There you go. Podcast listeners, you decide. All right. This is a fun one. I like these two categories.
This part might not be actually in the show, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah.
It's already well over 2 hours.
Ah, keep going. Come on. Okay. Most anticipated movie of 2024. This is not the greatest year ever, but there's some fun stuff. Deadpool 3. Dune Part 2, Furiosa, A Mad Max Saga, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, Joker, Folie à Deux, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Kraven the Hunter, Lord of the Rings, or the Rohirrim, and Madame Web. That is our...
What is Madame Web?
Madame Web is from the people who brought you Venom and Morbius. We are taking more obscure Spider-Man adjacent characters and making stories about them. Normally, I would not even touch that or put it on this list, but I gotta admit that trailer looked pretty decent, and I like 3 or 4 of the different lead stars in the movie, so I'm at least intrigued. I think this one stands. I think we just let people pick what they want. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to cut anything out of here, but it's a good list. It's an interesting list. I think I know what's going to win, but we'll see. And most anticipated TV show. Again, this is a damn good list. 3 Body Problem, Agatha Darkhold Diaries, Avatar The Last Airbender, The Boys Season 4, Doctor Who, Dune Prophecy. This is a spin-off HBO show based on the Dune movies. I put Echo in here because it's already happened, but what are you going to do? Fallout, House of the Dragon, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, Season 2 is supposed to be coming, Marvel Zombies, Star Trek Discovery, Lower Decks, Prodigy, Star Wars The Acolyte, Star Wars The Bad Batch, Skeleton Crew, Star Wars Skeleton Crew, Stranger Things The Final Season, Umbrella Academy The Final Season, Walking Dead The Ones Who Live, that's the return of Rick and Michonne, and X-Men 97, I know where Jaime's vote's going.
Yeah, this is a long list. Should we like choose one each and then add a few more, or are you going to leave it as the longer list?
I will take Echo because that's happened, but... I don't know. I don't know if we want to keep, like, I don't know. Is anybody here looking forward to, particularly looking forward to, I don't know, Agatha or Avatar or I don't know what to take out of here?
Avatar, well, Avatar has a bad history, right? Bad track record, right?
Well, this is the Avatar. This is the, not the Blue Cats.
Is it live or an animated?
This is a live action interpretation of the classic anime series, which, you know, always is a bit of a who knows. I mean, Cowboy Bebop got slammed, but then people loved One Piece. Yeah. So who knows? Who knows what you're going to get?
Yeah. Dune Prophecy, I could care less. Fallout, I'm not sure about. Anything with zombies in it, I'm going to nix because I'm tired of zombies.
Yeah.
which that removes two shows like with one fell swoop, right?
Is anybody
Stranger Things? I saw Stranger Things was over already.
No, they've got one more season to do, and they're filming it right now.
I'm not looking forward to that one.
I am.
I'll watch it.
I am. Are you? I'm looking forward to it. Yep.
Fine. Prodigy. We can take Prodigy off, I think.
Prodigy could come out probably. I don't know. I'm curious. Again, I'm curious to see. You know, we've gotten all this little bit of hype that it's coming, right?
Nah, it's not gonna be good. And Discovery, I'm not really looking forward to Discovery.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh, controversy.
Ooh. Ooh. That was a hot take. That's a hot take. Yeah. This is the final season of Disco, and you're like, don't care?
Yeah, I don't care.
Oof. Spicy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the whole going to the future thing and like it's gotten, for Star Trek, it's gotten unbelievable. You know? All right. Anyway. Have been enjoying the last couple of seasons of Discovery?
I think there was things to like about them. I can't say I have enjoyed them as much as I've enjoyed some of the other Star Trek properties that we've seen.
I think Strange New Worlds is eclipsed Discovery, right?
It has. But then the question is it because Discovery was first out of the gate? I mean, the first, you know.
Well, coming back to the actual exercise here, I think we can probably take the Bad Batch out.
I'm looking forward to that one too. Because that's the final season of that.
Umbrella Academy. I skipped an Umbrella Academy the last season, so I don't know if I have.
And I enjoyed that one too. So again, it's personal preference. That's why these lists are complicated, right? I don't care about The Walking Dead. I don't care about Marvel Zombies. I don't care about
let's take
Avatar or Agatha. I mean, I'll watch some of this stuff, but like, it's not like, oh my god, I have to watch it.
No, Avatar, Agatha. Are you taking it out? Am I taking it out?
Jaime? Go ahead.
Gone. Too late. You had your chance. You blew it. Da Bois.
I'm always looking forward to more Boys. Zombies. That show's amazing.
Yeah. Prodigy, we're taking out, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think it's a good list.
And then our last Fallout? Category is the easiest one, which is
Fallout Zombies, isn't it?
Fallout is sort of zombies, sort of. But it looks funny at least. It looks like clever in the way that the game is clever.
All right. And most anticipated Star Trek, we'll just leave that as it is, right?
Leave it as it is. This is only four things that are coming out there. We're going to get Disco Season 5, Lower Decks Season 3. Should be season... Lower Decks Season 5. We've got Prodigy Season 2 and Section 31 movie. I didn't put in Strange New Worlds because I don't know if we're getting more Strange New Worlds this year. So
Yeah.
We might, but okay. We might not. So I don't know what to say. But that is your rundown on all things Spockies. So we're going to clean this up. We're going to polish it up, and we're going to put it out there as a chance for you to have your say. So please vote, share it with your friends. You'll find it on our Slack channel. We'll put it on our socials. We'll share it around, and come play with us. Let's see what you think. And we'll put in some other categories so you can reinsert some of these ones that we may have arbitrarily thrown out your favorite actor and or TV show and or movie.
Sure. Let's move on to the watch list. What everybody's waiting for.
You're up.
Well, I've been watching Monarch Legacy of Monsters, and I believe it's come to an end. Very entertaining show. I think it was really compelling. I mean, like, you know, a guy in a rubber suit, lizard suit, I mean, has always been problematic. My favorite Godzilla movie is Son of Godzilla, one about the little baby Godzilla. Is that what he's called?
It wasn't the cartoon.
Anyways. Yeah, so what I liked about this show was the way that
Kurt Russell
and his son, Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell, both play the same character at different stages.
Hmm.
So it's a really interesting portrayal, right? So very interesting. And it's timey-wimey too, and there are some unbelievable stuff, but it's sci-fi, right?
Yeah, for me, that's me. Having seen Monarch Legacy of Monsters, I feel like I put it in the same category as Chucky and Cobra Kai, where I just could not be bothered personally with the kids, the teenagers, and the adults part was like the part that kept me coming back.
Plus the big mystery. Anyway, my dog is trying to destroy a box that's sitting beside my desk for the last 4 years. But anyway, Jonathan, you're up.
Yeah, so one of the things I watched while we were off that I really loved was Blue Eye Samurai. I don't know if either of you had a chance to watch that on Netflix. It's an 8-part season. They've already announced they're going to do a second season. It is this really kind of cool, speaking of the John Wick stuff, the trope you talked about earlier, guys, the it's basically a revenge story. It's about this samurai in 17th century Japan. The world is closed off to non-Japanese. They've basically closed off the walls. They don't want anybody from other cultures in Japan. They're kind of in that phase where Japan was kind of trying to hold on to its existence in the way that it was. Not that that's possible for anyone to do, but they tried. And it's basically about this this samurai who is basically going around trying to find the last few Caucasian people in Japan and kill them. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It is so freaking enjoyable. It's got a really, really good voice cast led by Maya Erskine. It's got, you know, Randall Park. It's got Kenneth Branagh. It's really, really top notch. The animation is gorgeous. It is very adult. It is blood and guts and gore and sex and nudity, and like, it's not a cartoon for the kiddies, but it is tremendously enjoyable. I really enjoyed it as a watch and found myself at the end of it being like, more. So I definitely recommend checking that one out if you get a chance. The other thing I have on my watch list, I watched the first episode of the TED TV show that came out last week. So this is basically a prequel TV series to the TED movies, starring Seth MacFarlane as a teddy bear come to life. There's no Marky Mark to be found. Instead, there is a young man playing him in that character as a young boy, probably, I'm going to say 14. I think maybe in the show they say he's 16 or something, like 15, 16, something like that. But it's a funny show. I did find myself laughing out loud. I do like Seth MacFarlane. I do enjoy Family Guy. I get that his shtick is worn out for some people. The Ted character it's funny just to hear like these filthy things coming out of a teddy bear. So that tickles my fancy. It's the rest of the family, the kid they got to play his brother, his keeper. I don't know how to define that relationship. His thunder buddy is not a terrific performer. The young man, unfortunately, I don't feel like he really is at his best in the first episode. They have not used the same two performers who play his parents in the movies. It's a new couple, including the redheaded fellow from the Orville, whose name escapes me. My wife recognized him. But yeah, it was definitely worth a laugh. I enjoyed the first episode. I will continue to sort of check it out and see if it has any kind of staying power. But yeah, it's worth a watch for sure. I don't here in Canada, it's on cable TV, which is kind of weird. It's not on a streaming service, which I thought was kind of an interesting choice. And in the States, I want to say, I mean, it's on Showtime or something.
I'd have to see and just watch. Let me take a look.
Yeah, here it's on Fubo or
Fubi. Fubi.
Fubi, is that what it's called? It says Fubo Tubi, TV. T-U-B. No, Fubo TV.
Oh, Fubo. Yeah.
Oh, it's on Peacock here.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. It's on Peacock there. Yeah, and it's on Showcase and Stack TV here in Canada. So if you have Stack TV, you can watch it there too. But yeah, with a watch. I laughed. What do you got for us, Jaime?
My choice is one that is only 3 episodes into the first season. It is an anime series on Netflix entitled Delicious in Dungeon. The basic premise is you've got a swords and fantasy world where adventurers gather in groups and raid this particular dungeon, which is very deep. So deep, in fact, that you really can't get all the way to the bottom because you just will just run out of food and supplies. So in this case, the main character is incentivized to go back to the lower depths of the dungeon because his sister was eaten by a dragon, but in this world, dragons digest so slowly, he might conceivably be able to save her. And the way they're going to go about it is they're going to eat the animals and monsters and stuff that they find along the way to the dungeon so they don't have to carry weeks and weeks worth of food and supplies. So it's weirdly a sword and fantasy show bolted together with like a cooking show. So, you know, you think, oh, how would I cook mushrooms? What if the mushroom was alive and I got to kill it first and then dissect it appropriately? And slimes, what if they could be, you know, dehydrated and used kind of like you would like a jellyfish? It's a weird choice. It's kind of fun so far. I'll see if the shtick wears off after episodes, but so far I'm enjoying it.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that's it for another week. So, hey, Jonathan, people can touch with you. Where will they find you?
You can find me on Instagram or X at JPK News, or you can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/@JPK. Okay.
And Jaime, if people want to touch with you.
I'm on Twitter as @DevTheHair.
All right. And this on my lap is Sorsha.
Mostly known as the Rose and Rose of Teeth.
Yes, yes. The house inspector, we call her because she finds all the flaws in our house. My name is Timitra, TimMitra on the Twitter machine. Don't bite me. Speaking of which, yeah, until next time, we'll see you in the future. Bye.
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 That concludes another episode of Spotcast, streamed to you via Subspace Signal. I'm friend of the show, Greg Keo, joining you from Sector 001. If you want to find out more about the podcast or see the episode show notes, visit the Spotcast website at spotcast.com. You can get in touch with your Star Trek nerd hosts on the website or follow them on Twitter. They're @Spotcast. If you have feedback or questions, send them a tweet with the hashtag AskSpotcast. If you like the show, please consider recommending it to a friend, writing a review on iTunes, or pledging any amount of Gold Press Latinum at patreon.com/spotcast. You can find details on how to help them out on the website, spotcast.com/sponsor us. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the future. Wishing you peace and long life.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big.